Let's hear the word of God together as we turn to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3, and we read from verse 14, a beautiful, beautiful prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's a tremendous privilege and joy for Barbara and me to be back in Legacurry today. The lengths I've had to go to in order to get a return visit to this congregation, to bring you the greetings of our General Assembly and to assure you of the prayers of our wider church. Barbara and I have really been enjoying these past few months, touring various congregations, finding out what God is doing, getting to know people, and on the whole, being encouraged. All kinds of stories that are happening as well. We can remember going to visit in Ballymena a lady who had just turned 109, still living on her own. A remarkable conversation. And during it, she told me that as a child, she had learned Matthew 5 to 7 off by heart. As the visit drew to an end, I decided I would read the beginning of that passage to her, Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. And each Beatitude I began to read, she finished it for me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the peacemakers, and so on. Each one I started, she finished. And then she said to me, not realizing that I was actually reading from the Bible myself, "You have a great memory, just like mine." Of course, as Bobby has said a little earlier, there has been considerable fallout from our assembly. This underlines to me the importance of my theme for this year, a theme which is for the long haul, a theme that is significant, a theme that underlines building relationships either in our own walk with God or at congregational level, or again, filled to the measure of the fullness of God as we reach out to surrounding community. Our passage this morning spells out the importance of building those relationships, and we'll turn to that in a moment. But before I do so, I want to pray God's blessing on Bobby and Anne, on your assistant minister, Mike McCormick. I can remember John McCachan standing in this pulpit, John, who would have been the senior minister in my time, and saying that the place really only did well after he left. And as I come back here today, I know exactly what John meant. It's wonderful to see this place going from strength to strength as God leads you and as God prospers you. And I can remember the assistant clerk from the General Assembly during my time in the 1990s, a man called Derek Poots, coming here and actually saying to me after the service, and this is something that I've never forgotten, Legacurry is a real jewel in the crown of Irish Presbyterianism. So be blessed, be encouraged, be open to God and his leading and his directing. Don't be afraid to step out in faith into everything that he has yet in store for you as a people in this place. As I mentioned, stepping out, that really brings me to this passage. We could spend ages talking about it. We could spend the next few hours making our way through Ephesians chapter 3, but let me highlight to you one or two points very briefly today. First of all, that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. As we open our lives to him, as we trust in him, as we rest in him, as we find, as we come to him, that he takes us out into the most wonderful adventure of life, discoveries that we would have never dreamt of, the way that he leads us and the way that he guides us and the way that he provides for us every step of the way. Sometimes I refer to two experiences of call. coming to Legacurry back in 1990, 1991 was a bit like falling head over heels in love, a romantic experience, as it were. Going to Bangor West in 1999, the exact opposite. It was as if I was being brought kicking and screaming to the altar, resisting it every step of the way, but God in that process too. As we trust our lives to Him, there will be that sense of call as He leads you. And sometimes it's a call out into the unknown, but He is always ahead of you. And I should add that I feel exactly the same way about Bangor West now as I did in Legacurry when I was here. Trusting in the promises of God, resting in Him, trusting in Him. During my own particular journey, I've encountered many wonderful people along the way, including a man called Mark Buchanan, who ministers in Canada, used to be in Vancouver Island in a Baptist congregation at a place called Duncan, now lecturing in a seminary in Calgary, wrote a wonderful book called The Holy Wild. Bangor has a worldwide missionary convention each year, and we're assigned, the various congregations are assigned speakers. A letter came to me to say that Mark would be speaking in West. His name sounded familiar, and then I realized that I had a book of his, The Holy Wild, sitting at home. I read the opening chapter of that book and found a story that really spoke volumes to me, trusting in the promises of God, accepting Jesus Christ, knowing Him dwelling in our hearts through faith, as Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians. Mark, at that time ministering in Vancouver Island, he'd been at a church meeting, came home only to discover that the house had been infested with snakes. He has a complete phobia about snakes, as I'm sure many of us would as well, and the house was in total pandemonium as his three children were running round catching the snakes, various sizes, children much more confident than he was, one of his children lifting one by the tail and telling it was naughty and then taking it outside. Slowly but surely, the house was cleared. That happened down in the basement of the house. For the rest of the summer, Mark and his wife, Cheryl, had to sleep upstairs. They couldn't face being down in the basement, even though the basement would have been a much cooler place to have been during the hot days of summer. He goes on to make the point that the bed remained the same, but he was no longer able to rest in it, the basement bed. And he goes on from there to say that the promises of God remain the same to us. Regardless of the circumstances we pass through, the question is, can we rest in those same promises? I want to go on and say that at the time I read that particular chapter, my own faith was going through a deep time of crisis and turmoil, prayer that just didn't seem to be answered, a pastoral situation which was very deep in our church, and God didn't seem to be in it. I got to know Mark that Sunday he was assigned to us in Bangor West. We became very good friends, and I had the pleasure of going out to visit him and to stay in his house. And although I had doubted the promises of God myself, that first night in that house, as I switched out the light, it suddenly occurred to me that I was sleeping in that same bed. God is always so far ahead of us. God gives us that sense of the icing on the cake, that adventure of faith, as we too learn to trust and rest in His promises, regardless of what we are going through. And in a few moments' time, we come to the Lord's table and we remind ourselves that this body, this bread, this wine are given for us. The body of Christ broken for you and for me. Christ reaching out to us in our weakness, in our vulnerability, in our sin, and in our shortcoming. Christ reaching out to us to reassure us and to strengthen us, to remind us that He is still going ahead of us every part of the way along our journey. When Christ comes to dwell in our hearts through faith, a world of endless possibilities opens up before us. Let's move on a little further in this passage and come to that marvelous statement of Christian love, that place where we discover the full dimensions of Christ's love, how wide and long and high and deep. It's been amazing this morning to see young people who would have been in nappies when I was here, now fully grown, and it's as if I'm having to spend time getting my eyes into focus as I look around. Don't worry at this stage, I'm not going to pick anybody else out, Mark. I promise you I won't. But I go back to my own time in Legacurry Manse and our three young children as they then were, now in their 20s themselves, and we can't get rid of them, they're still at home, still in their early 20s, mind you. But each night, or quite often in the evening, as I went to say good night to them, I would have told them a story. And at the end of the story, there was a little game that we played. Guess how much your daddy loves you. Does he love you this much? Does he love you this much? No, no, they would have shouted. Does he love you this much and this much? And we would have spun this out for quite a while, and the children would have laughed. It was a great time. And then finally, I would have been standing like that in front of them. Does he love you this much? And the answer was even more. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And as I pointed out to you like this, we assume here the full dimensions of his cross for you, everyone here, for each and every one of us, for me too. This is the extent of his love for each and every one. The love that is seen in his cross, the love that is seen in his risen power, and I'm glad that this banner is still here at the front of the church. The love that is experienced all around in its fullest dimensions for you and for me. Don't doubt that love today. You know the story of the prodigal son as well as I do. And the two main characters in that story. The younger boy who'd been away from home for a long time, who turned, who repented, who came back, who was covered in his father's love. Not based on any performance or achievement on his part, but knowing the fullness of that father's love and coming into a first-class relationship. Every inadequacy, every sense of inferiority, every sin, every shortcoming, all of that washed away as that younger son knew the fullness of that loving relationship with his father. The older brother in the story, always at home as it were, but harsh and narrow-minded and judgmental, so near and yet so far. And that's what we all need to realize today, even as we come around this table together, that we have a first-class relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He loves you with an everlasting love, this much and more. As I go around and as I talk to people about building relationships and as I stress the importance of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there's something that I will say to people over and over again. The Christian life rises and falls at the point of our devotional. It's true of any relationship. I regret that we haven't been able to stay in contact with so many of you in the way that we would have loved to, but those relationships are deep and mean so much. But in another sense, if we are not spending time with the people we love, there is the easiness. There is the way in which that relationship can grow distant or cold. The Christian life rises and falls at the point of the devotional. The time that we spend with him, the time we spend listening to him, sharing with him, and allowing him to come by his Holy Spirit. If that applies to our personal relationship, it has to be said of our congregational life as well. The unity and the harmony and the togetherness of God's people. Those relationships that grow deeper and deeper together over time. as we talk about the relationship on the congregational level, these resources have been prepared by our wider church to encourage people to pray, not for themselves, but for the life of the church. And I've left some copies of these for Bobby to hand out. They're little prayer cards. And on each card, there is a series of prayer suggestions to encourage you to pray for the extension of God's kingdom here in Legacurry and beyond. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And then there is a verse here that is so significant, that we might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. A little earlier in my talk, I mentioned visiting a lady in Ballymena, and I read the Beatitudes to her. And each one I began, she finished. Back in the mid-1990s here, when I was ministering in this place, I did a series on those Beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes of Jesus. And no matter how far I went in that particular series, I found myself returning to the first one, blessed are the poor in spirit. And each time I mentioned it, even though I was talking about being pure in heart or merciful or being a peacemaker, I found myself coming back to mention blessed are the poor in spirit here in the pulpit. And the illustration I gave was along these lines, a dry, empty reservoir needing to be filled. At that time, I had the opportunity to go on a retreat in Belfast. And at the end of the second evening, after a time of praise and a time of teaching, there was ministry. And the person who was leading that group actually said, I have a word here for a dry, empty reservoir needing to be filled. And I continued to leave the room. I was wanting to get back home. His message came a second time. There is a dry, empty reservoir here. And suddenly he was standing in front of me saying, it's you. You're that empty reservoir needing to be filled. And as I was prayed with, nothing dramatic happened. But there opened in me a much deeper sense of reliance on the Holy Spirit and the power and the presence of God. We need that presence of God. We cannot afford to run on empty. We cannot afford to allow our congregations to keep ticking over without opening ourselves to the fullness of God's Spirit and the power of His Spirit as well. As I draw to a close, I want to mention the final couple of verses here. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Do you believe that? He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. One of the books I was given by my minister at home when I was growing up was by a man called Sangster, and it's titled Three Simple Words, He is Able. But this verse goes further than that. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Barbara and I are so blessed and encouraged to be here today. But one of the joys of these past few weeks was the opportunity to go and visit a congregation, to visit Colin and Marjorie Dixon, who serve with our church overseas in Jordan. And that was an eye-opening and life-changing experience. I want you to imagine a congregation of 4 to 5 dozen people. I've been spending 10 days there, and this is coming towards the end of my visit. As I look down at the congregation, and as a translator is helping me through my talk, and the one word that he had difficulty with, by the way, was the word power. He just couldn't get his tongue around that. Power. But as I was looking down at the congregation, somebody sitting over there who'd come out of Iraq, who'd given his life to Jesus Christ, his family came looking for him, left him for dead on the roadside. Somehow, miraculously, that church stepped in to provide for him to care for him. Somebody else who had to flee for her life at the very last minute from ISIS. And as I watched her, having visited her in her home the previous week, who had absolutely nothing, I was so moved when she put something into the offering plate. As I looked around that congregation and as I spoke, I saw someone who had come to faith, a lady from a Muslim background. I got off to a rather strange start with her when I first talked to her. I tried to say to her hello in Arabic, but managed to say to her, I love you. And I became a great source of humor in the congregation as a result. But let me say to you that we had Andrew White, the canon of Baghdad, the vicar of Baghdad in Bangor West a couple of years ago, who said to us that for many people in the Middle East who actually go through baptism, it's as if they are signing their own death warrants. We experienced faith along those lines in Jordan. And that particular congregation as well had the most incredible outreach for its size. About 3, 4, 5 dozen people. The singing was so amazing. We didn't understand a word of it, but we knew that God was present and alive. During the week as we went round the church, a doctor's surgery, as the doctor cared for people in the surrounding community. Next door to him in another room, a dentist who had himself fled from Iraq, about to be murdered by ISIS, but his Muslim neighbors actually pleaded for his life so that he was saved. We were taken from there to a school which is for refugees. It's amazing what the Jordanian government is doing in terms of looking after literally millions of refugees. It's a story we don't hear an awful lot about on the news. But this school, designed for refugees, incredible to see all the children, mind you, health and safety and issues like that, totally out the window. But what was being provided for those children was such an inspiration. And I'm delighted to say that the Boys Brigade of Northern Ireland is providing an outdoor playground for that school. And those of you who belong to the BB family here in Lekkercurry, please take note of that. As we went around, we saw so much evidence of God at work in a way that was so humbling, making me realize that my own spirituality, by contrast, seems so superficial. And yet God's word able to speak to those people as well. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. As we open our lives to him, as we trust in him fully, as we experience his guidance and his direction, as he leads us on the most amazing adventure of our lives, and we are filled to the measure of all his fullness, knowing how wide and long and high and deep his love is, that we too would build relationships with him, with one another, and as we go out into this wider community, wherever he leads us, so that his kingdom will come in ever fuller measure.